All right, let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, hopefully you've brought your scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 18 is going to provide a context for where we're going. And we've been preaching through Acts Alive. And I'm not actually going to continue this morning on an Acts Alive series, but my contextual scriptures are from Acts chapter 18. I am thankful. I am thankful every year for a brand new year. I love brand new starts. Amen? Say amen or oh no, real loud at me. Amen. 2005 is officially passed, and we're on the first day of a new week and a new month and a new year. What better way, folks, really, sincerely, what better way to start the new year than to celebrate together in fellowship and in the presence of the Lord? Isn't that the best way to dedicate our lives and our new year to Jesus? I think it's fantastic. What we want to do this morning is take a look at learning from the past, but we want to enjoy the present to the fullest. And then we want to move on without fear into the future. There's purpose. There's destiny. There's a plan. No matter what your parents may have ever told you, you are not an accident. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for that. All right? So you've got a purpose. You've got a plan. You've got a destiny in the Lord. Let's take a look at some perspective, and then I'm going to talk a little bit of history, and then we're going to go to our key scripture for this morning. Acts 18. Verses 1 through 5 to provide context. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded that all the Jews depart from Rome. And he came to them. Verse 3. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what's the city where Paul now is? Where is he preaching? Corinth. He's in Corinth. Verse 1, these things, Paul departed from Athens and he went to Corinth. There he met Aquila and Priscilla. Now what I want to do is we're going to aim for a verse in 2 Corinthians this morning that gives us the name for our message, if you will, or this perspective of which we're preaching this morning. I want to call this message New Starts. New Starts. Now Corinth, let's talk a little bit about what Corinth was like. What was happening in Corinth? It was a political center. It was a center of commerce, if you will, in Greece. And in fact, Corinth, at this time in the New Testament, had surpassed Athens in importance in those ways. But Corinth had a reputation for tremendous wickedness and immorality. Ever hear the phrase, or it's old-fashioned, but to be called a Corinthian. You know, you ever hear that? Anybody ever hear that? All right, to be called a Corinthian was a terrible word to be called. It meant you were of ill repute, you were immoral, you were doing wicked things. That was a Corinthian because the city was literally given over to that kind of a spirit. In the town of Corinth, or in the city of Corinth, they had built a large temple out of the city, just out of the city on the hillside, to Aphrodite, the goddess of love and war. And in that popular religion in Corinth, they would bring their money to the temple, and then they would take part in sexual acts with temple prostitutes and consider that worship. I want you to know, we do not do that here. Thank God. Amen? You can smile. It's okay. It was a little joke. We don't do that here. We don't even think of doing that here. Okay, very good. No strings attached to your offerings, no extra benefits come along with them outside of the benefit of the presence of the Lord. Isn't that good? All right, in this popular region, though, that was one of the things that brought judgment on this town. Easton's 1897 Bible Dictionary and the Life Application Notes, you get a perspective of Corinth, and it was about 48 miles west of Athens, and the ancient city that you might think about was destroyed by the Romans in 146 BC. But about 100 years after that, they rebuilt Corinth. So by the time you get to Corinth in the New Testament, it's a brand new city, mostly built from freed Romans. Multitudes of slaves were there. Jewish people were there. It was a colony that was noted, actually more than a colony, it was 600,000 to 700,000 people, probably by the time Paul came to Corinth. And it became the seat of government, noted for wealth, for luxuriousness, and immoral habits. Paul's heart, through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Paul's heart probably is expressed more than you find personal expression in almost any of his other letters. Paul's human weakness is discussed, his spiritual strength, the deepest tenderness of his affection, his wounded feelings because people had rejected him, his sternness, his rebuke of their sinful activity and their allowance of sin to take place, the zeal for the welfare of the weaker brethren in the church, and the spiritual gifts and progress of the church, and Paul's burden that the church advance and grow. All of this came richly forth through his letters in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Now, between in your Bible, when you take a look at Bible study, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Romans all belong to the period of Paul's third missionary journey. And we're just about to that study in our book of Acts as we've been going through Acts Alive. But those four books, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Romans, provide a powerful platform that gives almost the greatest foundation of Paul's heart and preaching in the New Testament. In fact, there's a Latin term for this. These four books contain the very pectus Paulinum. Say with me, pectus Paulinum. Can you say that? Pectus Paulinum. You're all speaking Latin this morning. Aren't you great? None of you try to say, did you know I spoke Latin? Pectus Paulinum. And it means the mind and the heart of the apostle is expressed especially in these four books. It was a fantastic harbor. There were a multitude of ships coming in and out. The streets were clogged, if you will, with travelers and merchants. And even in the old pagan world, this city was known to be of terrible influence. Literally at night, you could hear the hideous screams or yelling of brawls and lewd songs of drunken revelry. The whole city would be given over to it at nighttime. In the daytime, the markets and the squares swarmed with Jewish peddlers and merchants, foreign traders, sailors, soldiers, athletes in training, boxers and wrestlers and charioteers and racing men and betting men, courtesans, slaves, idlers, parasites of every description. I'm just trying to give you a flavor of what was happening in Corinth. I want you to know that because we're going to go to a certain key scripture that is profound in light of the influence of the community in which it was written. This was literally a community of corrupting influence of the Aphrodite god, and it was very, very polluted. The question that I would ask you is this. Do you think it would be a struggle in that face of terrible temptation and influence to stand strong and bring a strong light for Jesus? Really? Yes, it would. You can sit there and tell me all day, oh, no sweat. It would be a problem trying to swim upstream in a downstream world, trying to hold your own and bring the light. Now, the darkness is the best place to bring the light. We have people that don't like the fact the church is in this building. We have a community that is very, very divided. You know what? You know why the church is here? To help bring healing to this community. These communities in our region need Jesus. They need healing. They need life. They need hope. People need deliverance, forgiveness, the presence of God, hope, health, life, strength, vibrancy, forgiveness. They need to know there's good news, don't you think? Come on, anybody in this room happy for some good news? You know, you can read the voice. You can read the leader. You can read the Bremerton Sun or the Kitsap Sun. And what do you find? You find the bad news. But in church, in the house of God, you find there's something called good news in Jesus. So we've come to bring his healing presence. But in that community, there was a terrible influence and a real struggle to stand strong for Jesus Christ. And so some of the earliest converts in Corinth were, it took them a long time to clean up. You know, God catches, you know, we may be involved in catching the fish, but God cleans it. You've all heard that. How many understand when you give your life to Jesus, he doesn't leave you just as you are? He looks at you and says, honey, there's a little change needed. Okay, you got to be a little more like Jesus in attitude and thought and expression, whatever it is. God keeps working with us until we're like Jesus. How many are there yet? Okay, don't raise your hand. Not soup yet. We're continuing to grow. But in Corinth, it was a terrible difficulty to try to get these people to understand this life of Christianity is different than what you thought it was. It's not just adding Jesus to Aphrodite worship. It's getting rid of Aphrodite worship and getting into a whole new thing. It's getting the Word of God planted in your spirit and in your soul. It's leaving immorality behind. It's leaving wickedness behind. It's getting rid of the old things and embracing the new. It's becoming like Jesus. How do you get people to live new? You know what? You get people to live new by filling them full of the love of Jesus Christ. You don't get people to live new by beating them on the head and telling them, you better repent, you sinner. You know, I mean, sometimes those messages are really important. It's crucial. People need to know they're in sin and need to repent. But overall, people need to be filled with the love and the fragrance of Jesus Christ and with a God who loves them and knows them and wants to help them and get a new start in their life. So in light of all of this, let's go to the key scripture for this morning, shall we? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And we're talking about new starts. How are you going to reach people to get them full of Jesus? So often, a little aside, I was talking to somebody at length the other day who is not a church person, never was a church person outside of being forced as a child to go to church, not interested in church. What he discovered in a lot of churches that we could all be guilty of from time to time is people that would barely crack their face with a smile, who plastered that I know more of the Bible on them than anybody else. You know, I know more of the Bible than you do, and you're just a visitor and a guest here. You know, in fact, around here we like to call people guests. I don't even like the term visitor. You know why? I might use it from time to time as a slip, but the visitor is somebody who's uncomfortable in your house. They know they're just there temporarily. A guest, you're welcome to stay. You're welcome in our guest room anytime. Amen? Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Reading from the New King James Bible. I'm going to read this verse out of several different translations. New King James. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Behold, all things have. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Out of the NIV. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. The New Living Translation. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. How many are glad? Out of the New American Bible. So whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Out of the Message Bible. I love this one. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. Isn't it great? I love the passion. I just love the passion. It's biblical. You know, you want to check it out, make sure it's accurate. I don't do all my preaching from the Message, but I just love the life and the passion in that. We look inside, the whole team of people, we look inside. What we see is anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Doesn't that sound like you're just bubbling over? I mean, I'm so positive I might fall overboard if I was in a boat right now. You know, you just feel positive and life-giving and it's full. Look at it. Then there's this translation called God's Word. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. Say, the old is gone. The new is here. Come on, raise your voice. Mold me over. The old is gone. The new is here. Come on, lean with me. The old is gone. The new is here. Come on, get moving. It's the new year. Here we go. The old is gone. The new is here. The old is gone. Come on, you can keep doing it. Lean with me. Here we go. The old is gone. The new is here. The old is gone. The new is here. The old is gone, man. The old is gone. Aren't you glad the old is gone? Maybe it was a good year, but I lived enough mistakes in 2005. Don't want to live that over again. Fresh start. 2006, first day of the first week of the first month of a brand new year. Thank God, a new beginning. Love, a new start. And that's what Paul was trying to say to these people living in this society where sin was riddled and it was immoral and wicked. The pressure was to live that lifestyle, and you're weird if you're living something different. Sounds a lot like America today, doesn't it? The old is gone. The new is here. What does it mean for us today? Number one, it says if anyone is in Christ, then you are a new creation. What's the whole first point? Make sure you're in Christ. Are you in Christ this morning? Is Christ in you? Are you in Christ? Make sure. He's the answer. Jesus is the one with the answers for life. The old songs, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I don't even look like him, much less sound like. Who sang that song? Who did that song? Come on. Roy, all we know. 1970s. Oh, I don't think so, Tim. Okay. You know, he was Sister Baker's, she was a friend of his, did a whole bunch of those songs. The black guy. I want to keep on singing, I want to keep on singing. Okay, well, anyway, the whole point is the old is gone, including my memory. The old memory is just gone. Okay. Make sure that you're in Christ. What does it mean to be a new creation? The Greek word stisis means a brand new building, a brand new formation. Remember the words of Genesis when God reached into the earth and formed man out of the earth. He's forming you brand new. It's not just you get to add a little Jesus to a little corner of your heart. Jesus, when you give your life to him, reforms, makes you brand new. You're a new hunk of gorgeous man and woman. Look at each other, say, I'm gorgeous and I'm new. Jesus takes the King Kong of sin off your shoulders to just be, you know, contemporary, right? He just takes it off. What do you have to do? You have to know that Jesus loves you, that he is the answer. You have to know that he's got your answer. He's got your forgiveness. It's not just getting saved. It's walking with him, being redeemed and fashioned and formed and thinking like him and getting a new mind and reading his word daily and loving that word and holding on to him. If you are in Christ, then you are a brand new creation. It starts by knowing you're a sinner. He's the Savior. Surrender and give your life to Jesus. Ask him to come and fill you full, and he'll do it. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm only laughing because those of you who have been with me for a little while know I try to sneak those verses in every message somewhere when I preach on Sunday morning. John 3, 16 and 17, nevertheless is true. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody together, if you want to. Jesus, even if you've already prayed this before, pray it with me again, would you? Come into my heart and life. I surrender my life to you. You made me. Lead me, please. I ask you to be my boss, the Lord of my life. Wash me clean from sin. Please forgive me for my sins. By faith, I receive you right now, inside my heart and life, as my personal Lord and Savior. Right now, I know. I'm saved. Right now, I know I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. Thank God. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you just did. Sneaked it in on you, didn't I? If you've given your life to Jesus, it's a prayer of dedication then to go on in a fresh way this year. Oh, Master, Lord, Boss. People don't know what the word Lord means anymore, but he's the guy in charge. So Jesus, be in charge every day. But if Christ is in you, then you are a new creature. What happens? Let's go on. Old things are passed away. That literally means in the Greek, the old archaic things, the things you may have struggled with in the past. Now, don't look so sanctimonious and holy at me. Anybody in this room ever struggled with anything? Ever, ever, ever? Okay, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you come on up and finish the message, okay? Thank you. Michael. Okay. It doesn't mean we play around with sin. It doesn't mean we excuse it. It doesn't mean we say, fine, I'll never get any better. But literally, there are sometimes struggles, temptations, problems, confusions, things that drive us crazy. And God says in the Word, when you are in Christ and Christ is in you, those become old, archaic things that are passed away. Thank God we need a new understanding, a new illumination. Those King Kong sins on my shoulders or shames from past sins are gone away. Oh, man. Isn't that good news? Come on, I just want to take any old problems, anything. You don't have to tell your neighbor what they are, okay? Shame right here in your hand. Put them in your hands. It's okay, you can do motions. I'm a little kid at heart. I like motions. Put them in here. See, okay, the problem right there? Now give it to your neighbor. No, I'm kidding. Now just pitch it over your shoulder. Go ahead. All things are passed away. Come on, one more time. Here we go. All things are passed away. Don't catch your friends' stuff they threw away. All things are passed away. The archaic stuff. You know, literally, in the Greek word is perikomahi. And it literally means those old things perish of neglect. Look, when you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you are in His Word, you are fellowshipping with other believers, you are worshiping Him, you are in prayer. Your mind, the Bible says, is being transformed into thinking new ways, thinking His way, and those old things perish by neglect. How many do you think were changed by prohibition? Okay, prohibition didn't change too many hearts and minds. They found it didn't work. How many of you think that God has been the one who's delivered from alcoholism and can deliver from demons of drugs and things like that? A new heart, a new mind, and those old things pass away. Of neglect. What you doing today? Neglecting the old, spending time with the new. Isn't that good news? New start. Old things are passed away. The old is gone, no longer exists to trip you up. Old offenses, where people have offended you, let them go. Old problems, let them go. Old issues, let them go. They're over. Kaput. I like to pop my peas in a microphone. Sorry, doesn't sound good on the computer, I'm sure. But kaput. Turn to your neighbor, say kaput, and try not to spit on them this morning. There's a phrase you've heard preached several times, and I think it is profound. It's a good statement. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. If it's over and done with, it is over and done with. Look, even your images of yourself, old images. If we had teenagers here, one thing you can guarantee about teenagers, and no matter where they are, they don't think they are good looking enough. They don't think their bodies are good enough. We put visuals on screen. How many of you know you don't have to be a teenager to think your body doesn't look good enough? Don't raise your hand. Those old things, those old images beat us up. Those old shameful things, maybe something you did a long time ago. It's under the blood of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go. Old things passed away. I want you to say with me, I am created in the image of God. I am created in the image of God. I don't have to live in shame anymore, folks, because I'm created in the image of God. When you know you're created in the image of God, by the way, it helps you live higher and walk to better things. That's why there is a controversy with Christians throughout our land regarding intelligent design or creationism. If you think that you were created from an animal, then you can't overcome fleshly desires. But if you know you're created in the image of God, then you live higher according to His Word. Now, I'm not trying to oversimplify issues. I know there are issues on both sides. I am simply saying when we realize in our heart of hearts we are created in God's image, it makes a difference in how we live. Folks, you can't do anything about what happened 10 minutes ago. 2 minutes ago, 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, or 10 years ago. Let it go. You can ask forgiveness for what you may have done wrong. You can ask forgiveness for someone you may have wronged. You can ask forgiveness, and then you state that forgiveness, and all you can do is let it go. The old is gone. You can forgive someone. You can release someone. You can determine not to be destroyed by the failures and wicked sins someone did against you. And sometimes those things have happened. But all you can do is determine not to be destroyed by it or by your own mistakes, sins, or shortcomings. Let it go. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. It's moving day. The old is gone. Don't let the past control your future. Don't let it determine who you are today. Old things are passed away. There's a little kid who came in to his mom and his hand was just caught in this glass jar and he couldn't get it off. And the mom went yelling to the dad, help, help, we've got to get his hand out of here. We can't get his hand out of here. And the only thing I can think of doing is breaking the glass and it's going to create a need for stitches and cuts and he's going to be harmed and I don't want to cut his wrist. The father knelt down with the son and said, son, what's in your hand? A penny. Let the penny go. As soon as he dropped the penny, he could slide his hand right out of that glass jar. Sometimes we have a tight grip on the past, and the past has a tight grip on us, and it's as valueless as that penny, and we need to let it go. Old things are passed away. Final point, all things have become new. You're in Christ, you're a new creature. A creature, that's good. Creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Folks, all things are become new. Look at each other and say, all things are become new. I am new this morning. Say that to each other. Boy, he's got us talking in church this morning. That's right. All literally means all in the Bible. Genomi. To cause, to come into being, something new. Keanos, new, fresh, living, alive. Everything is fresh, and that leaves no room for anything else. It's all things. How many of you realize every cell in your body is replaced every 7 years? Right? Every 7 years? Right? My latest batch just got replaced with old droopy cells. That's all, but you know, I mean, new cells. So too, you got new beginnings and a brand new year and a brand new week and a brand new month and a brand new start and opportunity in Jesus. Paul was talking to people literally fighting to walk a new way. And he looks at them and he says, you got to realize you're new in Christ when Christ is in you. You got to realize that old stuff has passed away. Time to realize you got brand new opportunities right here, right in front of you. I don't know each of you in this room to the depth that I'd like to yet, but I can tell you this. You are created by the hand of a God who loves you deeply. And every single person in this room, you have a destiny and a God-birthed plan from His hand for you. There is something that only you can do. Wonder what it is. And today, you can say, okay, Lord, I'm done with shame. I'm done with the past. I want to do what you've called me to do. What is it today? What is it this week? What is it this month, this year? What have you created me with a purpose and plan to do? At the very least, you can lighten up, brighten up, and give His love away to somebody who desperately needs it. Can't you? Today? There's an adventure today. Live it. There's an adventure coming tomorrow. Let's live it. An adventure in the future. Take the joy from the past. Let's love living right here today. Let's fulfill the call of God on our lives. Let's fulfill that destiny of a new week, a new month, a new year. It's a new day. And it is a new start. Amen? Let's stand. Lord, here we stand. Elaine, would you come, please? Here we stand as a group of people that have had some fun in church this morning. A new start, a new beginning. Let's go back to Jesus' name above all names. Thank you. A new start, a new beginning, a new day, a new hope, forgiveness, peace, deliverance, strength, healing, all in the name of Jesus. Jesus, the only name given where men can be saved, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray together today. Would you take each other's hands? We pray together today that you will do your will in our lives, that you will fulfill your plan in our lives. Oh, Lord, thank you that the past is gone. Can you say thank you to Jesus that the past is gone? Thank you, Lord, that the past is gone. Thank you that what's here present with us today is an opportunity. We say yes, Lord, we'll fulfill your will today. And what's coming tomorrow, we don't know. But we do know this, you're already there. And we want to walk with you from here straight through to there. Take your will, Lord, and fulfill it in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our communities. Oh, Lord, we want to see you fill this earth with your presence, with your glory, as the waters cover the sea. Amen. And my prayer for you today is that you'll go forward and have a lot of joy. Have a great day in the presence of the Lord, his families, his friends, celebrating the first and celebrating every single day that God gives us to be alive and to serve him. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, come right out front. We'll be honored to pray with you as you surrender to this Lord we love. If you need healing in your body, come right out front. We'll be happy to pray for you because we believe the scripture teaches us that God heals and he's present to do so. If you need a word of prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you as well. Encourage each other. Enjoy this day in the Lord.